Turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I think we'll be on the Sermon on the Mount for a while. We got 13 verses so far. The Beatitudes, beginning the Sermon on the Mount, give us very great number of specific principles of the spiritual life of the people of God's kingdom. Now, we have some specific application, some specific truth. And in verses 13 and 14, we have two parallel but definitely contrasting verses about the role of the believer in the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but in a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We have two great principles, great truths here, contrasting truths. The Bible says that the believers, those that are part of the kingdom of God, that they are to be, their role is to be the salt of the earth. Next verse tells us they are to be the light of the world. I realize that these are overlapping roles, but we first of all need to see that there are contrasting roles. One, salt, you might say, is a has to do with the could you put it in a negative sense? The salt has a contrasting role than light. I'd say in one sense the word salt is negative, light is positive. Salt, and we will get there, is a purification, a preservation agent. I think the emphasis here is a preventative of the downward, corruptible cycle of mankind and civilization. Light answers the fact that mankind is in darkness, knows not where to go, but light gives them a positive direction in which to go. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ask a broad question here. Do you think Christians should be a part of the problem or a part of the solution? Ye are the salt of the earth. Think the Christian should be a part of the problem or a part of the solution? We're going to be looking at the principle of preservation. It is interesting doing a little research on what people say about salt. And people say what the Bible says about salt. It is amazing how you can find people say that the Bible says the opposite of what it says. I am amazed. Now, book of Matthew is written to the Jews. It is really the link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I believe that the right insight into this principle of what the salt is can be best understood from the viewpoint of the Jewish people who, number one, are a pastoral people, an agricultural people, and secondly, a people of the Old Testament. And so we're going to look at some verses in the Bible that talk about salt. Give us a good understanding of what does this mean. Leviticus chapter number 2. These aren't necessarily in order. In fact, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 13. That might be a little bit clearer one. 2 Chronicles number 13, verse 5. And Abijah, the king of Judah, is belating the fact that Jeroboam has now led the northern 8 tribes away, 10 tribes, to form their own separate kingdom. And speaking of that problem, verse 5. And he says to Israel and Jeroboam, "Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over to Israel, to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt?" A covenant of salt. And he is implying that they understood what this meant. Covenant of salt. Well, if you go to 2 Samuel 7, you have the covenant. It's called the Davidic covenant that God had with David. And that covenant was that the seed of David was to sit on the throne of David forever. It's called a covenant of salt. A covenant that was enduring. A covenant that was irrevocable. How would that be illustrated by salt? Leviticus chapter number 2. Again, we're dealing with what's the definition of salt, to see the main emphasis, to see the big picture of really what the Bible is saying when the Lord says that the people of God are to be the salt of the earth. Leviticus chapter 2 and verse number 13, "And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt." Salt. A symbol of permanence, a symbol of loyalty. Something that's enduring. You know, in our age of refrigeration, we don't think much about salt other than for our taste buds. Yeah. But in real life, without refrigeration, and they didn't have modern refrigeration in Bible times. Salt was the main ingredient of preserving multitudes of things. Now, when we think about having ham for some dinner, we don't think about salt. But you know what? Still, all over the world, they preserve meat with salt. And we're just in Hungary, whenever that was, a year and a half ago, or is it a year ago? A year ago. And we met Tibor. He was working on a farm, young man working on a farm, and he took care of the butchering. He took care of the making of the hams. I said, how do you make the hams? He said, well, we put it in a box, we put it in a box of salt. And it's in there, and we move it, and we keep it covered with salt for 2 or 3 weeks. And then we cure it. But it has to be saturated with salt. It's a preservative. And what would happen with that meat if you just let it set out? Well, I'm afraid it wouldn't endure, would it? It wouldn't continue. The salt, a symbol of permanence, a symbol of loyalty, because it is speaking of a preservative, something that keeps from corruption, keeps from ending. This is a primary principle of salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now you think about that. The salt hath lost its salt, its saltness, its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? Well, let me tell you what. If a salt has lost its ability to preserve, what good is it? Don't put it in that box trying to preserve that ham. Throw it out. Good for the dunghill. That's it. It's worthless. It won't do what it's supposed to do. Boy, you know what? There's quite an inference there, isn't there? There's quite an inference there. I think it's a tremendous inference as to the passing of the baton. And we know at the rapture the baton is going to be passed, isn't it? And the wild branch is going to be cut out. And the natural branch is going to be brought in. The Gentiles are going to be taken off and cut off. Because they are no longer usable. They've lost their saltness. Preservative. And we find throughout the Old Testament, that principle. You can turn to Ezekiel 43:24, Numbers chapter 18, verse 19. A statute forever established by a covenant of salt. And there was not to be any offering made that was not salted. Now, we have a little bit of thought of the definition. Salt, a preservative. So now we find the design of the believer in this world. The design, the purpose of the believer in the world is to prevent its corruption, is to prevent its decay, is to be a block to the downward cycle. You know, you heard me say this before, but I thought it's so appropriate. About 6 weeks ago, they interviewed Billy Graham. And they asked him a number of questions. I didn't hear the interview, but I heard this part. He said, "The thing that is most disturbing to me in my life and ministry is that after, I don't know what he said, hundreds of thousands of people professing Christ all over America, it had no effect on the downward moral decline of America." Wow. Ye are the salt of the world? A number of us just saw this very interesting video called The Agenda, written by a Christian man. And the quote at the beginning of the video was quite significant. And it says, the health of America is its patriotism, its morality, and its spirituality. If we can destroy these three, we will defeat America. I didn't give it exactly, but it was said by Joseph Stalin. And in that video, I'm not going to say much more about it, but other than giving the whole story, but it talked about the design of the socialists to destroy America. And one of the things that they were going to attack, he was going to attack the morality and the spiritual life, going to attack the churches in America and make them weak. Notice the effect of God's people that is supposed to be in the world. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse number 5. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall surely hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord your God is in, our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments as so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. I have taught you statutes and judgments, and this is your wisdom. And surely the nations will hear these things and say, this great nation is a wise and understanding people." What is it saying? It's saying that this great law that God gave his people, that these great principles, these great truths, these great revelations of the nature of God, these great truths that speak of the basic framework of family, the basic framework of successful civilization, the basic framework of a people having a relationship with their holy God and Creator. What will be the product? The product will be a nation that is so great that the people of the world will say, wow. But there was something that was going to, that they were going to have to obey and meditate on and apply to their life. It was the law of God, these statutes and judgments. Otherwise, what would happen to their society? What would happen to their civilization? It would decay. It would rot. It would go in a downward cycle. I make a bold statement here. The problem of the world is not communism. That's not the problem of the world. I know I'm getting ahead of myself in my outline. The problem is Christians. That's the problem. The downward cycle of the world is not because of communism. It's because of Christians. The Christians are supposed to be the conscience of the world. The Christians are to be the standard that will not be moved. That's not so. It is not so. Getting ahead of myself, but you know, instead of being a preservative, the Christian today is a part of the decaying process. I can give you a fact that will startle you. A couple facts. Do you know where the highest divorce rate is in America? Must be that the New England. There are liberals out there. I mean, you talk about liberals that hate the Bible and God. Must be New England. Must be California. You know, land of fruits and nuts. Must be California. All twisted. No. You know the highest divorce rate in America is? The Bible Belt. That's right, the Bible Belt. The places of America where there's a Baptist church on every corner. Does that sound like the salt of the earth? No. The fact is, it is the highest divorce rate in America. Why is that? I don't know, but I can guess. You know why? Because in the South, full of Baptist churches, if you aren't dating a boy in seventh grade, there's something wrong with you. And little girls, they gotta be made up at an early age. Gotta have makeup, gotta have all this jewelry. I mean, everything is about boys. You know what's wrong with that? They didn't get any of that thinking from the Bible. They got it from the world. They got it from their flesh. It's a part of the decay of society, not the prevention of decay. You have this need. that the believer is to be the conscience of the world. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, my Bible tells me that one of the overriding characteristics of the Holy Spirit ministry, Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now it gives a sevenfold definition of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. I wonder if this is related to Revelation, where it talks about the seven spirits of God. As a enumeration of that, Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. I'm afraid that there should be in God's people a prominence of the fear of the Lord. And yet we find God's people are the ones who dare step on ground that believers of other times would never have dared step on that ground. You know, secular companies have bought the big Christian book distributors. Zondervan is owned by a secular organization. And other companies. You know why they're bought out by secular companies? They found out that Christians have a lot of money and they spend a lot of money. What would happen if the Christians stopped spending their money on the things that it shouldn't be spent on? We'd live in a different society. Ye are the salt of the earth. We are to be a preservative. We are to be a part of the solution. We are not to be a part of the downward decay of our culture and of our nation. You know what? The rules that we had in our public school, dress code in our public school in 1968 is probably more conservative than 99% of Christian schools. Who changed? Yep, the world changed, but so did Christians. And many times the Christians are the first ones to adopt those changes. You know, my Bible says, be not among them that are given to change. And it's talking about this willingness to go to new ground, new moral ground, new cultural ground. Don't be in that crowd. You know, using a colloquial term, actually, Christians should be kind of old fogies. You know, just listening to this documentary, they talked about how our culture has changed so dramatically starting in 1960 when prayer was taken out of the school. You know what? In 1960, I was 10 years old. And you know what? I usually have to talk to people about 10 years older than me for those people to remember what it used to be like. Because everybody that is born after that has been so much a part of this downward decay of our culture that they don't even know what has happened. Their point of reference has been destroyed. And so we find the need of the world for the Christian to be the agent of preserving it, of preventing decay, of standing in the gap of that downward spiral. You and I know better. The sad thing is many Christians are attracted to that downward spiral and defend it. Isn't it any wonder that the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Answer is, no. What does that mean? That means that the visible Christianity will have been so much a remnant, it will be as though it never existed. Where are we all headed to? Revelation 17, Mother Babylon. That's where it's all going. And so we have the design of the believer. The design of the believer. The design of the believer is to be a preservative in this world against its moral decay, against the decline of the family, against the decline of civilization, against the decline of personal morality. That's a very important thing. This world needs Christians to stand for truth and to live the truth. You know, I say this, there is almost no place in our society anymore that people hear the word no. Where are you going to hear it? No! Shouldn't be doing that. Where do you hear it? You don't hear it anywhere. You don't hear it in the media of any kind. You know, that should be the voice of parents and the church. Say no. I also already inferred this. But the demise of the believer. Turn back to 2 Peter. Second Peter, we read this morning. The demise of the believer. It says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." In seeing and hearing. The Bible pictures something that we know to be true. That there was a gradual wearing down of Lot's conscience and his fear of the Lord and his values of morality. There was a slow wearing down. And how did it take place? Seeing and hearing. Seeing and hearing. Seeing and hearing. You know, just on a trip to Africa, spent 20 some hours on airplanes with mostly unsaved people. We were in airports for many, many hours, filled with unsaved people. I'm very, very seldom ever spend that much time among unsaved people. Or in that kind of atmosphere. And I was just kind of noticing some things, and I was kind of noticing kind of some things about me. I'm not going to be specific, I'm just going to be general. But I noticed that by being around that crowd, my thinking was changed a little bit. Some things that I considered objectionable, by being around it a long time, all of a sudden the objectionability of it started to wear off. You notice what the Bible says in seeing and hearing. In seeing and hearing. Other than the multitude of other reasons, you would never want to send your child to public school if there was a choice for this very principle. Seeing and hearing, a wearing down of the righteous soul. You know, there's a wearing down of God's people. The salt is losing its savor. It's a wearing down process. You know, we know that 95% of the music in the Christian world today, it's called contemporary Christian music. It's actually soft rock. It has been rightly called as producing a mystical, spiritual emotion. And it's really the only answer that 95% of Christianity is swallowing it and you know, hook, line, and sinker. Because I believe it's the devil's tool. But they asked the CCM writers, the quote-unquote Christians. I want to remind you, we're in the day age of profession. We're in an age of decision evangelism. Pray a prayer and you're saved. And I believe that many of them never have been saved. They asked these CCM artists, songwriters, if we could buy you a ticket to listen to any musician, who would you like to hear? I don't know many musicians by name. But you know what? You know who they named? Hardcore, unsaved, wicked rock musicians, the majority of them. Where are they getting their influence from? The world. The world. And 95% of Christianity, that's their music. And it's music that comes from the roots of the most ungodly people on the face of this earth writing music. The salt has lost its savor. The decay of America is not because of the communists. They have a plan. But the decline of America is because of Christians. Now, there's a difficulty. You know, there's difficulty. The first half of the difficulty, or part of the difficulty, is this. You know what? When people get saved, they get saved out of the world. Praise God. Sinners can get saved. Amen? Christ came, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But you know what? Every sinner has their thinking shaped by the world. And every sinner, I'm sorry to be so blunt, but every sinner has been brainwashed by the world. You know, getting back to this video, you'll want to watch it, but do you know John Dewey was a socialist? He's the father of the public school system, modern education. And you know what he determined the purpose of public school system was? His own words. To dumb down America. I call that brainwashing. You know, my Bible says this. Psalm 19:7, I love this verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Give you my little spin on that verse. You know what it means? It means when you get saved, combined with Ephesians 4:23, where it talks about the renewing of your mind, it means that everything in that brain of ours, after we get saved, we need to run it through the filter of God's Word and get out all the garbage. Our mind needs to be renewed. And the problem today is that we have people who are a part of a wicked world and a wicked culture, and they're bringing that culture into the churches. And especially if they have this decision evangelism when half of them aren't even saved in the first place. They get in the church and they fight standards. Oh, they fight the music standards. They fight the dress standards. You know why? They haven't been born again. They haven't been born again. Oh, they know all the answers because they may know all. And you know, this is, goes to the other half of the problem. That's the real problem is the Christian kids who know all the answers but haven't been born again. And you know what? You combine that with unsaved people in a church, I tell you what, they're going to fight. They're going to fight righteousness. They're going to fight change. They're going to fight standards. They're going to fight it. And instead of being the salt, they're going to be a part of the bacteria, the decay. Now, I'm just trying to paint a picture here. What is your attitude? Mom, what is your attitude? Dad, what is your attitude? Young person, what is your attitude? Are you a fighter of holiness? Are you a fighter of holiness because you are so comfortable in this decaying culture? You don't want to change because of pride? That's what's the problem. That's a real problem. The salt has lost its savor. And the world is plunging at a rapid pace into decay. And I'll need to illustrate it, but the fact is this. That in the mega churches, with that mega church philosophy, almost without exception, there are some exceptions, praise God, because some people in them are saved. But with a great majority of them, they're dressed as immodest as the unsaved person that goes into Walmart. And not only that, but they're proud of it. That's sad. They're sad. You know what? We've gotten so far away from what's right that even a little jerk to go back to where we ought to be, people are fighting it. You know what the Bible says? Boy, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. We have two problems. We have a problem people get saved out of the world. And you know, praise God, when we get saved out of the world, you know, God saves us, God forgives us, but let's not defend the sins of our past. Let's not defend the sins of our past. Let's agree with God. Let's agree with what the Bible says, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable. Even if we don't like it, let's agree with what the Bible says. Let's agree with what the Bible says about divorce. Let's agree with what the Bible says about modesty. Let's agree with what the Bible says about purity. You know what? God saves us. And many times there has to be a lot of defilement. That's sad. To get us to the bottom point that we realize we're a sinner. But let's not defend our defilement. Let's hate it. We ought to say, hey, you know what? That's wrong. It's wrong. That's wrong. I don't want anybody else to ever have to experience it. On the other hand, we live in a day in which there's become a complacency among Christians. We become complacent. You know, as long as we've got money in our wallet, as long as we're comfortable in life, that's what counts, right? Have a good life. Have gas in the car and have a place to go and have recreation. Well, that's all that counts. And we just be like Lot. Turn on the TV and have our soul vexed by seeing and hearing all the unrighteous deeds of this wicked world. Complacency. Just drifting down the river. How sad. How sad. Ye are the salt of the world. Not maybe. Not maybe. You know, everything in the Bible is inspired, but you know, sometimes it's good to remember that Jesus said this. Ye are the salt of the earth. We don't know how it works, but we know it's true. God's people. God's people. God has saved us to be the salt of the earth. What should we do? What should we do? Boy, there's so many things. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to meditating on God's Word. We need to get back there. We need to get the world out of our lives. What do you think the number one way the world is getting into our lives today? If it isn't the TV, it's the internet, isn't it? Getting in our lives. Taking the savor away from the salt. Sometimes people are spending way too much time just being around worldly people. Now don't get me wrong. The Lord was speaking my heart today. I was thinking about it. Kind of rebuking myself. I said, you know, instead of having two or three people that you're witnessing to and around, you need to have at least 20 people right on the line that you're trying to draw into the kingdom at a time. I know God has to work in my life, and there's got to be some changes. You know, there's some young people here, maybe some adults. You know what? You know why you love the world so much? You haven't been saved. You don't have a new heart, new will, new affections, new mind. You need to be genuinely converted. That's what you need. You must be born again. Christ came to save you from sin. And that includes our old nature. And give us a new heart. There needs to be genuine conversion. It takes place in our life. We need to, if you haven't been saved, I feel sorry for you. Not only because you're on your way to hell, but man, you're in a church and you hear all this stuff and it's like, man, oh man, oh man, it must be like a huge mountain. Must be terrible. You mean I gotta do this and I gotta do that and I can't do this and I can't do, oh man, I can't imagine living like that. Man, it's great to get saved. And want to do right. And want to get rid of sin. And want to be close to God. I beg of you, come to Christ as your Savior. Forget about playing this game and trying to pretend you know what you aren't. Come to Christ and let Him save you. It's completely different. That's why we have so many people hating fundamentalism today. They've never been saved. Come to Christ. You know, your relatives need you. Your kids need you. Your family needs someone to prevent the downward cycle, the decay of the last days. Get up and take a look where the world's going. Doesn't that stir your heart? Doesn't it bother you when you say, man, I can just see the decline? We need to rise up and say, man, something's got to take place. Obviously, what's happening isn't the real thing. Need to become a salt of the earth. Jeremiah says, learn not the way of the heathen. Let's not get our info and our thinking from the world. Let's get back to God. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's be a cog in the wheel that stops it from turning backwards anymore. It has to start with us personally. And maybe there's some things in your life, maybe there's one thing that God's dealing with. And instead of playing around with it, you need to say, you know what, I just need to get rid of it. Instead of me being what I ought to be for God, I'm fighting my own life going downward. How can we be a salt to the world if we're fighting going downward ourselves? God, we need to be honest with ourselves. God has a purpose for saving us. The world needs us. They might, some of them might not respect us, but they need us. They need to be able to see. They need to have someone who's standing for the truth and living it. Living it. Ye are the salt of the earth. What a great truth. What a great truth. Everybody's agreeing. Our culture is going down, sinking fast. But no one wants to be willing to deal with specific things. Because they're defending themselves. They're defending their relatives. They're defending somebody they love. They're not willing to deal with it. We have to be willing to deal with it. The salt of the earth. How about, young person? Where's your heart? Make a difference for God. Make a difference for God. That's where we ought to be. Make a difference for God in this world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge. And Lord, our hearts are really burdened because we know the problem is far bigger than even we know. And it is, in one sense of the word, Lord, just perplexing as we see a day in which there are more churches, bigger churches, than ever before, churches with the Bible. And yet our society is plunging headlong into wickedness. And it's as though the Church of Jesus Christ didn't even exist. Lord, burden our soul to see the big picture. Help us to see it, Lord. Lord, then help us to be honest with an area of our own lives that we've allowed this world and this culture to cause us to lose our saltiness. Where we've been a part of the problem rather than a part of the solution. Lord, help us as God's people to make definite decisions. Concrete decisions. Lord, give us a thirsting to be a help in these last days. Give us a burden and a desire that our families, Lord, would be that salt and not a part of the decay. Help parents, Lord, help us to seek you. Oh, give young people a vision in their heart, Lord, to see the direction of the world. And Lord, rather than play our fiddles while Rome burns, Lord, help us to repent of our sins and live godly in this wicked day. Help us get back to the Bible, meditating on its truths and applying and listening to your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be the salt of the earth. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. We can't be salt. We're not saved. We got to be born again first. Unsaved people are helpless in the decline. They're a part of the decline. You're here today and say, Pastor, oh, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I have religion. Oh, I have religion. I know all the answers. But knowing Christ personally, have been born into the family of God, I need that. There's some here that know they aren't saved. Oh, you need to be saved. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to come to Christ. Would you pray for me? Just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay. Someone else? Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Okay, you can put that hand down. How many here today and say, you know, Pastor, God spoke my heart? I realize that I've been fighting change for the good. I've been fighting the change. I have been fighting trying to rise to a higher level. And there's some changes I need to make in my life. Maybe there's a change, praise God, that God usually lets us start with one at a time. Say, there's some changes I need to make in my life, and by God's grace, there's some things of the world that I've been hanging on to that are from the world. They're a part of the decay of our culture. And God spoke in my heart about getting that out of my life and replacing it with godliness. And just that specific decision God is speaking to you about. What about, young person? What about mom and dad? Anyone here, just lift up your hand and say, God spoke my heart. Specific thing about being light in this dark world. Okay, praise the Lord. Number of different hands. Others, amen, praise the Lord. Others, God speaking to your heart, amen. Anyone else? Perhaps the Lord is speaking to you about your friends. You're so much around worldly people that they're wearing you down. They're wearing you down. They're wearing down your morality, your vision of what's right. And you know what? God's speaking to your heart. You're spending too much time around the wrong people. Your soul is being worn down by seeing and hearing. And you say you need to make some decisions about that part of your life. And God is speaking to your heart. Anyone here today? Just lift up your hand and say, yep. That's the decision I need to make. Okay. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word. Important decisions, Lord. Important needs that you would work in our heart. Help us, Lord, these that have raised their hand, I pray you would minister to them in a very special way. And that, Lord, that you are the one that has to work. Help them to be living for the glory of God and to have the right focus. And may, Lord, they be energized by your Holy Spirit. And may, even as we leave this church building today and as we think of our memory verse for this week, you are the salt of the earth, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would do a work in our lives, just pointing out truth and whether we are what we ought to be in standing and living right in a decaying world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.